Well, this morning, we're going to go back into our teaching in our series dealing with tongues, which is the door to the supernatural. And, we may know things about this, but we need to understand that we're dealing in a Christian world that knows very little about it. They don't even believe it exists. I mean, I was born and raised. I mean, especially if you take back in the 1950s, during the healing revivals, when I was a kid, the healing revivals was God was moving through spirit-filled people. The ministries that were going on there, that's predominantly all spirit-filled. The healing and all that kind of stuff. And yet, with all those going on and all those things, lots of people didn't hook up with it. Even ministries. I mean, like my parents, they're out of a plain church. Like they took us to Oral Roberts' tent meeting and that stuff. But they went back to their churches and they didn't, you know, the spirit-filled life. You didn't do that. That isn't the stuff you did. I don't remember one time as a kid anointing a person with oil. And they did that. That was back in the 50s. It's amazing because the person got healed. But they never practiced it after that. Nobody ever asked for it. You know, you'd think, I remember when they did it, there was a farmer which lived in our area, and we were good friends with them and his kids, and we played with their kids, and we hung out together. And the one daughter, she had polio. So, and that was a big thing back in those time period. But they asked the church leaders to anoint her with oil. And they did it. But I can tell you that, I was at thousands of meetings and never saw them anoint anybody with oil to that time. They anointed her with oil. And I don't believe the church elders had any faith for it at all. I believe they got healed because of the family asking to do it. You know, I'll never forget, you folks know, remember Larry White. You know, Larry White, he was on when he had MS, and when they were giving him at one time, they used to give people really strong steroids and stuff. But it gave them some improvement in the time, but it was killing the body is what it was doing. They were doing that and they didn't know, medical science act like they knew a lot, but they knew nothing about what they were doing. They were in the long run hurting more than helping. So they were looking for some short-term results, but he was on these really strong steroids and he wanted to go off of them. They told him, you just can't go up and go off these things, man. You know, it can kill you going off of them. And he said, well, I'm going to go off of them. And so he was going to a church at that time. It wasn't a spirit-filled church, and he was going to him. He asked them to have the elders anoint him and pray for him. Well, it's number one, you know, they questioned about it and stuff, so you know they weren't in faith. But they anointed him with oil, so Larry had faith about it. So Larry quit taking the steroids. He wouldn't take them anymore. Well, the doctors panicked. They thought, he's going to die. You know, this ain't going to work. And Larry was completely fine and everything through it. But, it was like at that time. And, Larry said about, well, he got the elders. I said, yeah, the elders went through the thing. But I said, it wasn't their faith that did it. I'll guarantee you that. Because if they could have believed in that, one of them would have got healed of something. And they never did. So I said, you believed it. And I said, that's what counts. And this is one thing is, well, I encourage you. The Bible tells you, is there any sick among you? You call for the elders of church. Quit waiting for somebody to come after you. Use your faith. This is why most people don't get healed. They're waiting for somebody else's faith. Use yours. You know? Now, to me, that was always proof of the fact. You know, the person ministering to you, it's not more important what they do as what I do if I go to get ministered to. You know, that's proof of it. They can be in unbelief, but you're in faith. God will honor your faith. You're the one asking. You're the one receiving. So, and we do that. This is about the spirit-filled life. This is the way it operates. The spirit-filled life is a life of faith. Nobody has a spirit-filled life that don't operate in faith. You can't. Because I'm going to tell you what. It takes faith to operate in a spirit-filled life. Because like I read this morning, Norval Hayes, this is operating outside of reasoning and understanding. The spirit-filled life is outside of that. You know, like Mike was talking this morning about a thing, and he said, I just don't feel right about doing that. Everything looks good, but I don't feel right. See, it's outside of reasoning. His spirit says, he's getting this. He didn't hear from heaven, but just on his own spirit inside, where the Holy Spirit's at, communes with, is like a check. Like, let's not go beyond this. See, this is that spirit-filled life. And you know what? It is a very hard, you know, it can be difficult to live there because staying outside the reach, because there's, in this earth there's many voices. And in the church world there's many voices saying many things that you gotta watch what's said. And it's going on, and it's hard. But if you're not Spirit-filled, it gets harder. Spirit-filled helps. Being full of the Holy Ghost helps. I can pray outside my own understanding. I can do that. That enhances my spirit, builds myself up in my most holy faith. A person who's not Spirit-filled can't do that. They can't practice that. They can't do that. So we need to understand these things as we're operating in an area, and the church world doesn't like that. You know, we talk, over the years, the statements people made, you know, blind faith. And what is it? They were blind to their spirit, most of them. That's what they were. And they were, eyes were open to all kinds of other stuff. Is we're living in a place where faith is not some blind thing. Faith sees an answer. Faith understood it. You see, when Mike got a check in his spirit, he couldn't operate in faith beyond that because his spirit wasn't in faith with that. The inner man was like, put the brake on that, put the brake on that. Well, I'm just going to trust God. Well, you can't. It requires your spirit. See, people are trying to trust God when their spirit ain't even in it. And they're talking about faith. Ain't faith at all. It's not faith. See, this spirit feeling, it's like I tell the story. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was like being born again. It inspired my faith. It did something to me that I did not have before. It did something to me. And it's just like getting born again. It did something to me. It wasn't what I did. It wasn't my reasoning or my good smarts or sense. Wasn't nothing, none of that. It's what God did in me. I believed Him to do in me. Amen. See, we're believing God not for things that are reasonable. We're believing for what to mankind is unreasonable. It is unreasonable to medical science for Ed Gibson to have a heart attack and not run to the doctor. That's unreasonable. That's unreasonable in 99% of Christians. That's unreasonable. It's unreasonable. But you know what? What I was doing, see, my spirit, I was on the inside of me. There was something going on. I responded to. I can just tell you this. I wasn't afraid something was going to happen to Ed. I wasn't afraid. Why? Because I wasn't looking to the outside. Now, if I'd have went to the outside and got reasoning thinking about that, you'll get it. But on the inside, I knew I had this thing. I knew. But you know what? My mind's like, it wasn't reasoning to my mind that I had it. My mind's saying, you know, you ought to do something. My mind said, on the inside, I had that there, what they call peace that passes all understanding, guarding my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. See, you got to get a guard on your mind or that thing will run off and you can forget the faith life. See, if you get on the inside, your inside your spirit, you can get things that you can guard your mind from going into the crazy. And your mind will do, you'll overhear and you're believing for things and everybody says, that's unreasonable. Say, nah, I got it. I see it. You know, I got it. Where things become normal. And we need to understand this. This is what we're dealing with. We want to bring in the people. You know, we're singing, we want to go higher, we want to go deeper. Now, Christians could sing that song, but if they don't do something, if they don't operate what God has given us to take us to higher and deeper, it ain't going to work. Amen. It don't work. See, God, I want to go higher. So I need revelation from God. I can't go higher or deeper based just because I want to. You got to have faith for it. So in other words, you need revelation from the Word that you can believe about God to take you higher and deeper. Because we got to get something from Him. From Him. And I found this out. All that He has already given to me. I just need to find out about it. Well, God holds off for a good reason. No, your lack of revelation, you hold off. Now, it may be innocent from the standpoint of revelation. You don't have it. Maybe you ain't a place to learn some things, you know. But it's you. It's not God. God isn't hiding anything from the Word. He's not hiding it. It's revealed by the Spirit, and He put the Holy Spirit and gave you the teacher to teach you. So if anybody says, well, God holds back and all that stuff, you know this, they lack revelation about God. They don't understand, they don't know Him. They're like the guy who God gave men talents, and he said, they gave him one talent, and he said, I went and hit it. I know you were a hard, austere man. I knew this. You didn't know that. You didn't know him. The other guys did great. They had more to sweat about. He gave them more to be in charge of. But see, that guy's lack of knowledge of God is what caused him his problem. He said, I know you're this type of guy. Well, he didn't know he was that type of guy. He didn't know it. That guy was so good, he said, well, why don't you just go put it in the bank and just draw interest on it? Why don't you do something? Well, he couldn't have been a hard, austere man. No. He was a dumb servant. That's what he was. He was a dumb... He never got to know his master. He was one of the guys that went and worked at a place and complained and complained and complained all the time. You know, I saw this over the years, especially probably any one place that you work at for a long time. But you find this out about that. People don't know what it takes. The average employee, 90% employees, have no clue what it takes to run a company. They ain't got a clue. But they'll complain like they do. They don't know. Because there's a lot more to it. I'm going to tell you what. Just dealing with government regulations, dear Lord. And employees don't deal with them hardly. But they deal with them all. We say, well, why don't you do this and do that? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. It would be nice if you could do what you wanted. So, you know, we come over the Word of God. Let's walk in the light of these things. God gives revelation. He wants you to understand how the kingdom works. He wants people. There's one thing about it. If people don't come over to the Spirit-filled life, there's a lot about the kingdom they won't understand. They won't understand things about the kingdom and how it works. Because you got to get over into this Spirit being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because it opens a whole new door concerning seeing our God, how the kingdom operates, how God thinks. You know, when I got over to the Spirit, I got saved. I thought God was great. But man, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, started understanding how He operated. He revealed things to me and I saw, I thought, my God, you know... He started, and really through this, there was manifestations of the Spirit that started to me where God gave me words of knowledge, spoke to me about things. And when I saw about how good He was about things, I thought, my God, you know, I was born and raised in a church. They weren't evil, bad people. But you know what? They didn't in a lot of ways had a clue how good He was. They didn't know. They didn't know that. And it was a shame. They're God's people. It isn't like He holds back. They, like my parents, they went to meetings where this stuff was going on. And they liked the healing of it, but they didn't receive it. They didn't realize, look, if you don't have the things that they got, they have something else you ain't got. That's why they have it going on. They didn't get that. They just thought, well, you know, it's just God's moving over there doing that for them. And we're over here and this is the way He works for us. No, this is the way you chose.
Amen.
This is the way you chose. And see, when I got more revelation of God, I could change the way I chose things.
Amen.
But if you don't get revelation, you don't respond to revelation that's given. I'm just telling you this. Don't expect more. God will not move you to second grade when you flunked first. I'm just telling you. He won't. It's not like this world. It's not like the world system does. You gotta receive it. Why? Then it leads to more. And I found out the more concerning I received things, the easier it became to get more. It became easier to step into other things. But you gotta receive them, and we want to walk in line with that. Hallelujah. Walk in the light as He's in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. And fellowship is based on knowledge. Every one of us has fellowship with, like, say, people. We have people we have in different groups. Like, you have people you work with, you have a level of fellowship with. Now, you don't maybe see them outside or much. You only have one area that you know them. That's it. And you have people, you know, like, say, your home, live in your house. You should have fellowship there. A lot of people don't. But you should have a level that you know them there, you know. And like I say, over the years, you know, Wanda and I are living together. You learn a lot about each other, don't you, honey? It's scary sometimes. Anyhow, but you have a different level of fellowship and stuff in that area than you do with other people. So you have areas of fellowship with people. God's the same way. There's Christians that only have a certain part of knowing God. That's all they got, this certain part. You know, they know God by subject. See, what I learned of them, you know, God is everything in the Word says about Him. It's not a certain portion. It's everything about Him. You learn His character. You know, it says faith works by love. Well, you know, some people are trying to operate in faith and they don't pay any attention to love. There's some people think love's the most important thing, and so I just have to do that and the rest of it will work, and they can't get anything out. They can't get their faith working because they don't know nothing about it. You know, they don't know a lot of other things about what the Word says about character and all these things. Because this whole thing, it works in the whole thing. It's not some subject. We teach in subjects, you know, to give you, but it all fits together. It's one picture, one puzzle. It's one God. It's not this God who's a piece of this and a piece of that. And so it all fits down here. And when you understand it. See, there's one thing as I've learned is that I've grown in the Word. God has been able to reveal to me things that I see more and more the picture, how it all fits. The more and more I see that it's not just this one thing. It's not just this. It's all of this stuff fits around in here. You know, so many Christians think there's part that's not. I've heard people say, you know, well, the healing, that's not important. Yeah, and then they get sick and all of a sudden it becomes important to them. Well, get over it. Then they run to somebody else who made it important and you got to get it off of me. You know, they run to the doctor who made health important and then they run to him and wonder why they can't get nothing fixed right. Why they have to go through so much stuff. It's what you chose. It's what you thought was important. I might think, what do you think is important? Most people don't have good priorities. Preach. Of what they need in life, they think, you know, having stuff, houses, lands, and stuff, this is going to make it. No, I'm going to tell you, the real problems in life ain't those. The real things you run into, it's not those. Not those at all. And so we need to get ourselves thinking right about things. And it's like when the Lord spoke to me and told me after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, said to me, number one thing I want for my people, in other words, people who are born again, is I want them to be well. That's not number one in the church's list. Oh, money will be way up the road.
Amen.
You know? Well, see, if I get money, then I can buy my way through the doctor. Well, why not get well and don't have to go there? Well, no,
amen.
I don't. You know, let's get out. See, and people don't think. God said, you know, Jesus, when all the trouble was going to the cross, take your infirmities and bury your sicknesses. That should be a high priority. That's what He did.
No.
He took all my junk, man, and I had a lot of junk. I mean, the world. Look at us in sickness. Look at our country. The trillions of dollars we're spending on health. And the Bible offers us the answer, and the church don't pay a bit of attention to it. Oh, they talk, yeah, like, you know, well, God, yeah, He'll heal. If I can't get it, it don't matter.
Amen.
That's right.
It don't matter. We don't go to church to hear wonderful things if I can't have it. I did that. I heard about this, oh, God is wonderful, He's good. And I was waiting as a kid. Let's see some of the wonderful and good. I want to see it. And I didn't see it. I saw the devil kill good people, die way before their time. I watched all these things going on to this good God. And then I understood how people got the belief, the good die young. Because the devil will try to kill the good guy. He wants him out of the picture. It is good to know about health and healing. It's a good thing. I found this out. The devil wanted to get me out of the picture. He has tried a couple times to get me out of the picture. Thank God I knew about health.
Yes.
That God provided. Hallelujah. And so, praise God. I mean, I didn't always eat the good lunch. I found this out. You can do all you want with eating. It ain't going to solve your health problems. It ain't going to do it. Because there's a devil and you're living in a world and it's a contaminated world and it'll get you if you don't understand the faith thing.
Amen.
You can't fix your body through all those things. God provided a system, hallelujah, and this, his system is to work in a contaminated world.
Amen.
If the world could be made pure, Jesus didn't have to die. I mean, he could have just sent us a book with just do this, don't do that, just do this. How did it work for Israel? They had all their diet. Didn't it work great for them? Whoa! Yeah! That's gonna do it! They had it! I mean, think about that. They had it. Well, it didn't make them holy, did it?
No.
Nah. See, we get into extreme scenarios. It's getting, you know, and the first thing people will call you on, if you get to become like me, extremists in the Word, then you're weird. But you can be extreme in all the other stuff out there in the world. And that's okay. That's, oh yeah. You can be extreme. Hallelujah. Well, we'll get around to this thing here, I tell you what. Hallelujah. I just knew I'd been down praying last night, and I just knew, you know, that God was going to have some things He wants to say to us, especially Spirit-filled life. You're walking and living in a different place than other people around you.
Amen.
You need to understand that. There needs to be, you need to understand, you need to have the expectation and then quit expecting them to understand what's going on. They're untaught. They're untrained. They don't know. We can't have an expectation on them. In other words, this is why the gospel is preached, because it's taken to people that don't know. You know, they used to, like revivals, it's always amazed me, they'd run revival meetings and all the people that would show up were Christians. And they wouldn't bring, you know, preaching the gospel ain't for Christians from the standpoint of preaching to salvation. I mean, you already got it. I mean, you know. It's for the world. And you know, it's like churches have so-called revivals, and their revival is this, is that the Christians come to church and they preach to them like they're sinners. You know, they preach the gospel to them like salvation. You know, it's like, hold it. The sinner needs that. Hallelujah. The church is supposed to be taught. So they come back, you know, and they just go, yeah, boy, I'll tell you, that was a good message. Now I know I'm saved again. But the next year, I'll be questioning myself again till I hear the message. Oh, praise God. Well, we've been going over talking about things here being filled with the Spirit. One of the things we did say is this, and I want the Spirit of God wanted me to reiterate this. And I want to talk about it, especially as you're ministering to people, as talking to people. One of the things, is today. I mean, I still hear it said. People, you know, tongues are the devil. They make this statement. Hear people say that. Well, number one, you cannot find that in Scripture. You can't find it in Scripture. One of the things that you do when people say that, say, could you please give me a Scripture on that? Could you give me a Scripture? There is none. And see, they're doing, many people's faith are based and built upon what they've been told by people. They go to churches. You can go into churches and people, you know, are, and it hasn't changed. People, they go and they just, you know, it's sort of like when I was a kid and we go to church, there's certain things I heard preached often in the church. And I heard them often say, because, see, they had preachers, they didn't teach. In services. It wasn't teaching. It was preaching. They had Sunday school classes. And see, this is one thing that messed me up as a kid. See, as a kid in Sunday school, God was good. And when I got older, He's dangerous. You know, boy, you mess up and you're in trouble. And I thought, when I started growing up, I thought, why did they lie to us? They tell us He's good, then they take you out here and they tell you this. It's like, hold it. And you know what? I reached about 10 years old. I didn't want to have nothing to do with God. Because of what was preached. It's like, these people are schizophrenic. They got this God. We don't know if He's good or not. You know, we don't know. You know, He gets up in the morning and He's mad, you know. He gets up, He's messed up like Ed, you know. One day good, one day I'm doing bad, you know. He's crazy, you know. And this is God. See, you're told these things, you know. And you don't know. You don't have confidence in God. He's out to get you. You messed up. And see, we were taken from that. We were taken as kids and then put over here, watch out. You know? God's after you. You know? And then they'd talk about the devil. It's like I asked my parents. They said, you want to go to heaven? I said, no. Well, why'd you go to heaven? I said, I get if God's mean to you here, why would he be good to you there? Well, man, I mean, to them, see, that was a terrible thing said. That's what they taught. Why would they? They got upset at me for calling them on what they teach. And this is what people will do. They'll do this. They accepted this. What they taught was not in Scripture. It wasn't in the Word, but they were taught. And I remember the preachers. Lots of things that they taught. I turned out when I began, got saved, and I went back. Stuff ain't even in the Bible. Stuff's not there. Things that they're saying. Or they pulled something out of here that ain't got nothing on earth to do. And they said things. And they made sound. Us people didn't check. And the people in the pews. Because a guy would preach and use one scripture. And he'd preach a whole sermon. And he never got around in that sermon to lay down some principles in the Bible. What God said, given in the Word. Maybe he used one scripture and that was it. And he said all these things and nothing was ever verified. Nobody went home and looked it up. Nobody went home and, you know, like they had people say, like, you know, you read the Bible. Well, you know, they were more or less, more law people than anything. So they spent most of their time in the Old Testament. Because the New Testament was scary. God was so good over there, that couldn't be true. You know, we got to watch that. You know, you got to watch them things. And so, we need to understand it. So people get over and tongues is of the devil. One of the things that you'll get with people, see, people don't understand and know. Back in the when I came into the kingdom and that stuff, one of the things there, and I talked about an incident where I heard these ladies making a statement about when they lay hands on people, they know the devil will give them another spirit. One of the things that was in belief in people, even in people who believed back in that time, that God would fill people the spirit. People would question whether or not they could end up believing, you know, and they get a wrong spirit. You know, what if I get a wrong spirit? They would think those things. And the reason they did is because these things weren't taught by the people who ministered in the spirit. See, what happens, these people are going to meetings, and understand this, people were going to meetings into churches and into different kind of meetings that were held out in other places by spirit-filled people. And these people were coming out of churches that didn't teach anything. And so they didn't know. They were questioning about, you know, things. They didn't know about stuff. And so they've heard a lot of things and heard a lot of stuff. And when they would come, you know, they would have these questioning in their minds. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin in ministering to people. It's like when I minister to these young men when they come up here the other Sunday, I explain to them from a biblical standpoint. So we read scripture. You know, you're going to ask for the Holy Spirit where we read in Luke, where Luke is quoting Jesus Christ himself about receiving the Spirit. In Luke, the 11th chapter, 11 through 13, it says, if a son asks for bread from the Father, it says, among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Look, he said, if you're an evil person and you know how to give good stuff, how much more good is God? So if you ask God for something, you need to understand, he's not going to give you or allow the devil to throw something in there. He's not going to allow that. You ask him, you're going to get from him. Now, here he's talking about getting the Spirit. This is not being born again. He's not talking about being born again. That isn't born again. How many people do you see him call up? Well, we're going to call an altar call for accept Christ. So, now, let's ask God to give us the Holy Spirit. We're going to go in and teach later on about this, about Bible terminology. Because what they've done is the church world, and even among the Spirit-filled, they got baptism in the Holy Ghost, water baptism, salvation, and sometimes salvation is called baptism. It's talking being baptized into Christ. It ain't got nothing to do with water baptism. It's getting baptized into Christ. But everybody, they just jumble all this together and we got this one doctrine that is stupid. It is. It's really stupid. And it confuses people. And see, with scripture-wise, he's talking here. I want you to look in John the 14th chapter. I'm going to read something here to you. Because John 14, this wasn't on my note thing to do today, but the Spirit of God's been talking to me about this. And so I got up here and I decided, you know, I'm going to turn over there to that right away. Because I just kept coming up inside of me. We need to know the difference between the getting born again and being baptized in the Holy Ghost. What it is, the new birth, the baptism into Christ, and being baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to understand because the Scriptures differentiate. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit. In John the 14th chapter, in verse 16, Jesus said this. He said, now this understands taking place at the night that before his crucifixion. So he's going to die. He's going to be going in the grave. He's going to be raised from the grave. He's telling these guys what's to come. Now they don't see it or know it at the time. They you know what? It isn't that they couldn't. You know, these guys are like we sometimes are today, blinded by our own thinking and doctrines. We're blinded by them. They were. Now he says this to them. Now look. And I will pray the Father, or in other words, I'm going to ask the Father, I'm going to pray, and what is he going to do? And he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Now, verse 17, the Spirit of truth. In other words, he's the Spirit of truth, or this is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. I'm going to pray the Father, he's going to send you a helper. Now, this helper is the Holy Spirit. Now, listen what he says about this. Because, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Well, we know this right now. He's not talking about salvation. The world can receive salvation. He said this, the world can't receive. See, people don't read Scripture. They get in their mind, see, he's going to send the Holy Ghost, this is salvation. No, it's not. This is what he talked about before the disciples. You stay in Jerusalem. And I'm going to send the promise of the Father. That's what he's talking about here. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is not salvation. 99% of the church preaches it. Use it for salvation. It ain't talking about salvation. He says this, look at me. Because it neither sees him. The world don't see him or know him. Do you know what? When I got full of the Holy Ghost, I knew him. He was in me, the witness in me. I didn't get another spirit when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. It was the same one I knew.
Amen.
Because listen what he says to these guys. He says, you know, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and what? He's going to be in you. In other words, when you get him in you, you will know about this gift to get him on you. He's talking about this down here. This is for the people who are saved. It is not a gift to the people who are not. The gift is to the church, to the believer. It's what he said, I'm going to ask the Father to do this. He's going to send the Holy Ghost. All they knew before was there was people anointed by God who stood in certain offices in the Old Testament. Every believer was going to do this. They became a temple of God. Now they can be anointed by God. Directly. Directly. You see, we need to understand this, why the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's important. It's a supernatural gift. Like if you looked at the prophet Elijah or Elisha, did they have supernatural gifts? Well, that's what God wants to do with the church today. If Christians don't have supernatural gifts, they don't have much proof of what... They walk around and say God's supernatural. We're called to show that He's supernatural. Why? Because we are anointed with the supernatural. We're anointed with it. The Spirit of truth. This is the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. He divides them severally as He wills. In other words, everybody in the church is going to operate under supernatural gifts. If people who don't operate under supernatural gifts are not proving that God's real or true. Everybody. The Holy Spirit will manifest in everybody. You know, we go into to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. It goes in and talks how we need every part of the body. Well, I'm sorry. If there's no supernatural operating through me, there's no need for me in the church. This is the whole point. The church is supernatural. Was Jesus supernatural? And then he tells people, we're supposed to walk like he walked. And today, the majority of the church world makes fun of people that don't walk like he walked. And do, oh yeah, these healing people and these people do believe this. They make fun of the people that are supernatural. And they would have made fun of Jesus in his day too. They would have been right with those hypocrites running around there talking about a great God and anybody acted great. They want, let's crucify him. Folks, it's good preaching.
Amen.
But see, this supernatural, the church has stayed away from it. We're called to it. The Holy Spirit. I can just say, I have Holy Spirit that other Christians don't have. All they got's the witness of the Spirit in them that they're saved. That's all they got. Well, there's more than that.
Amen.
You know? I mean, just about these young men that, you know, got them filled with the Holy Ghost. See, number one is you want to get people on the thing. You got to get people over the positive side. You know, quit trying to act like you're waiting for God to give them something. That's why ministry don't work. That's why I told them, you know, the Holy Ghost's here. God's already given him. You just receive him. That's what you do. We're not asking him to do something. He's already blessed us. The Holy Ghost came. Did Jesus pray and the Holy Ghost was sent? Well, we in the day of the Pentecost, it showed up that day. There it was. Well, we don't have to ask him to come again. You know, Christians sing, come Holy Spirit, I need you. It's like, well, why don't you get saved, you moron? Go to a church. What on earth? They don't read the Bible. They sing songs full of unbelief. God sent the Holy Ghost. There is not going to be any more Holy Ghost in the earth than there is now. That's it. It's here. I'm asking for Christians sitting around, sitting in churches, filled with the Holy Ghost, singing, come Holy Spirit. It's like, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, Jeff. My God. Get a life. But see, when people are indoctrinated, God is limited on what he can do. You know, we talk about the day indoctrination, our college is indoctrinated. The church has indoctrinated believers to the nth degree. And so, you know, we're sort of like Donald Trump trying to break this thing up. You know, these people, they don't know in all we're talking about. We're using things that they don't know. They have their ideas. They think in a certain way, and they think they know what you're talking about, and they don't. One thing is I've learned is you ask people, well, you believe this word you have in Scripture. All the time you run into this, I know what the answer is going to be. Well, I know it's in there. But well, if you know it's in there, you ought to be able to find it because you can't. You ain't got no faith in it. Let's get down and get real. Let's get on this thing. Say, no, you believe it because your pastor said it and he's dumb like you. Well, you ain't going any farther than him. And if he don't know, you don't know. See, this is one of the things that, you know, the Lord taught me earlier. You can't quit learning because I'm going to tell you what. Anybody, just like in a family, leaders in a family quit learning, dumb family. Spiritually, that's what happens. They quit learning, and that's what happens. It goes to that. Why? Ain't going farther than leaders. You know, you can work for a company and the leaders are doing a lot of dumb stuff. You know what? You can't drive that company further than those leaders are going. You can't. Anything's like that. It's all like that. So I knew this. I'm going to have to spend time learning and studying because people aren't going to go beyond. This is why some churches, you go in and they're very limited because they have their religious teaching and they just go that far and God's stuck. And if those people don't get out there and listen to something else and go hear something else, they got trouble. You know, I went to a church God sent me to for a while, but I had to listen outside to other people because I tell you what, I couldn't get it at the church. And God had me there for a while for a purpose. But I'm going to tell you what. I had to learn to eat. I had to learn to eat.
Amen.
And see, I had to reinforce myself on beliefs because I'd go to church and they would teach unbelief sometimes. And I had to be founded in my beliefs.
Amen.
See, it's just people, they don't... Lazy gets you in a lot of trouble, especially spiritually. You know, I find this out, especially as you get older in life. If you've been lazy spiritually pretty much in your life, when you get older, it ain't going to get, it's probably going to end up worse than better. This is why I just started early getting myself hooked into this thing. And I'm still growing. I'm still learning. Hallelujah. You don't arrive. Hallelujah. Well, God gives this gift. So we have this here in this world, can't receive Him. He said, He dwells with you and He will be in you. In other words, they knew the Spirit dwelling with them, being with Jesus. They saw He sent them out. They did manifestations. They did it under His anointing. He sent them out under His anointing. Wasn't their anointing. When He left, that anointing left. They had to get to home. And He said, this Holy Spirit, you're going to need Him come because you're going to need power. Because you've been living off of my power here while I'm in the earth. But I'm leaving and the Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to take my place and empower you. That's what He's going to do. And it's not through just the new birth. You have to have the new birth to get it. But you're going to have to receive Him. This is what you're going to... We're going to have to do. We get people to receive Christ, but they need to receive the Holy Spirit. So we need to walk in line with these things, get ourselves over. Now, one of the things we want to look at here because, well, we had, you know, we talked to last Sunday, we went into things, it's about tongue ceasing. But we want to look today at this because some people get the idea because they get the Scriptures. They take one place in Scripture, says something, and so then it becomes the whole thing. This is why you study to show yourself approved. You know, the Scripture said about two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We need to understand that, you know. You know, there's one thing that I don't like in our justice system sometimes. You know, you have one person who says something, and they prosecute a person on the basis of that. It's not a good thing to do. Not a good thing to do. I mean, today we though, on the other side, I mean, we have a film of the person doing it now, still, you know. Well, we're questioning whether he did that or not. Is he guilty? I don't know. How many of you have been around the justice system, like being a juror or anything like that? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of dumb people I wouldn't want them on my jury. I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't want them within 50 miles of the courthouse. Just afraid that the demon that they're listening to and their empty head. Because they'd just do and say dumb things like you wouldn't believe in your life. It's like, you know, Christians say, tell the judge, well, I'm a Christian. I can't judge people. It's like, what on earth, you knucklehead? Did you ever spank your child for something? You judged them. So don't lie and tell the judge you don't judge things. The one thing is, I know this, they don't judge intelligence. Because if they did, they'd never say anything so stupid. The church is full of why? One Scripture. Judge not, lest you be judged. I'm not allowed to judge. All the other Scriptures that speak on the subject, they pull one out of context, use it. See, that's why you got to learn. That's why, you know, I don't trust just because somebody says it. I don't even trust because I say it. I want to go find the Bible. It's the Bible teaching this. It's the Bible. You know, we don't know. It's God saying these things. So we want to look at this because in some of this, because people had this idea that it was only the apostles who could lay hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So when they died, it all left. Now, the reason we're looking at this is because you need to understand, if churches don't minister and don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost in tongues, they have reasons why. And you know what? Lots of times we don't even ask people why. We just try to throw something out there at people. We have to find why. What do I have to overcome in their thinking? What do I need to overcome to bring them to this place? What do I have to do? We don't. We just throw it out there like, well, God will make this work. No, God's reasonable. You know, God teaches. Teaching is done. We read the thing. There's line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. This is how teaching works. We don't want to teach today. We just want to say something. Well, let's just change things. No, you got to teach people. There's one thing. The world is much more patient than the church. The world will, over time, and will take years and years and years. Our colleges became where they're at is because of years and years, here a little, there a little, till they brought in a place. And the people on the outside who don't like it are the reason why it took place. Because they didn't hear a little, there a little, nothing. And they let them take over. And over time, they slowly took over things. They slowly got their people in and their thinking in over time. When I started off as a Christian, I sure wasn't thinking like I was today. I am today.
Amen.
10 years I wasn't thinking like I am today. Mm-hmm. Why? Here a little, there a little. Brilliance didn't come overnight.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
A lot of stupidity had to leave for brilliance to get a spot. Mm-hmm. and it wasn't my brilliance. It was God's light. And so you need to understand where we're at in this thing. It takes time. And it's with people. Don't try to push them past a place of faith. Don't bring them to faith. Show them. Well, you know, these people say this. One of the reasons that comes from is this. Is in Acts the 8th chapter. I just want to read that to you today. In Acts the 8th chapter in verses 14 through 17, there's people who teach this. Out of here. In verse 14 of the 8th chapter of Acts, it says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Now there is two schools in this. Some people believe that's when they got saved. I mean, it's absolutely incredible that people think. Because this was when Philip went to Samaria and he had all the miracles. And so Jerusalem heard about it and they went down over there right away to those people. And the apostles laid hands on them to receive the Holy Ghost. And see, people say, well, see, the apostles, it requires an apostle because Philip couldn't do it. Philip couldn't do that, so they went down and did that because Philip couldn't. Well, that's not scripturally accurate. I said before, there are 5 recorded instances in the book of Acts where people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And out of those, 2 of the 5, people got filled with the Holy Ghost and it was nobody was laid hands on them. So, the people say, well, you know, they had the apostles. We have 2 of them. We have 1 incident where a lay person, which would be just an ordinary Christian who wasn't called to as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, not one of those gifts, just a good Christian believer. In fact, that's how Paul got filled with the Holy Ghost, from a good Christian believer. The apostle Paul? The apostle Paul got filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, in Acts the 9th chapter, Paul, remember Paul was heading down there to Damascus and he was really treating the Christians great? He's just telling, you know, going down there, good religious guy. He's sure he's doing the right thing. You know, he's down here. I'm down here working for God, getting these evil people out of here. This is what we're doing. Well, he comes down and he runs into Jesus. Jesus appears to him. We find out because Paul talks about it later in his testimony. He gives the fact that, you know, Jesus appeared to him and he saw Jesus. And And that on the road to Damascus, he was saved. Well, what happens here? See, some people say, well, you know, Paul got saved here. You'll never find in the Bible any place anybody got saved with hands laid on them. If you could get people, well, let's just get them up here and I'll just lay hands on them and they'll get saved. See, I don't see these empty heads out here. People are sort of like, we have what they call Trump derangement syndrome. Is that what they call? Well, we have baptism of the Holy Ghost derangement system. We got this thing going on in the church. They believe it's of the devil and they will listen to no reasoning from the scripture, even though the scripture's clear. You know, see, some people talk about this is one of the things people use the term early church, and we talk about the church back in the beginning, maybe in a reference to them, but we need to change how we think about this. The early church was not different. I'm in the same church. I'm in the same church. There's not a different church. Salvation comes the same way that it did then. I've heard ministers say, well, things have changed. They don't do them. They don't do that. Hold it. Salvation has never changed. You have to faith in how it operates. And we don't believe to receive the Holy Ghost to get saved. The Holy Ghost ain't Jesus, and He won't save you. He will always point to Jesus Christ. Jesus said He takes what's mine and show it to you. If you get into these things, it's like, we had a thing sent to us by a person. They had these people that are so-called prophetic. Turned out they were prophetic. They were doing this, prophesying over them. And they went through this thing and telling them all this stuff. And all the things they said, it glorified the person, how wonderful they are, you know, that you're just great and this and that and the other thing. Never once did it mention Jesus Christ or anything. If the Holy Ghost is working, He's going to magnify Jesus. If you have greatness without Jesus, you don't need Him. Maybe you can save Him. No. I definitely needed to save Him. I definitely needed that. So the Holy Spirit will magnify Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go over, because in Acts 9 chapter, we have this guy here. Paul, at that time, was Saul. Saul went down and he went to the what the Lord told him to do, and he got blinded by the light. He was not blinded because of a medical ailment. He was blind. The glory of God blinded him. God put him in a position that he could talk to this guy and do something. But anyhow, we want you, in verse 10, I want to read to you, and we're going to read down through 10 to 12. It says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now he's just a disciple. He's a follower of Christ. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias? And he said, here am I, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Now, so Paul had a vision. Paul knows this guy's coming. He had a vision, and he saw this guy's going to come. You're going to get your sight. But God talks. We go through the thing, and God, because Ananias stopped and said, oh, man, this Saul guy, hold it, hold it. You're sending me to him. That ain't the guy I want to see. He's doing bad things in the church, you know, and that stuff. Well, God talked to him about him. And God, the Lord told him about Paul and the fact that Paul was going to suffer many things for his name's sake. So Saul's going again. Now I want you to listen to this. Ananias comes and when he's way in verse 17. Look at verse, and he said, Ananias went his way and he entered the house and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul. Now in other words, he called Saul brother. Well, I'm just going to tell you this. The early church never called anybody a brother who wasn't born again. They weren't your brother. The church today, they just take in anything, anywhere, anyhow, somebody says. Well, and then he says this, the Lord Jesus, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and what? And be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I've heard some people say, well, it doesn't say Paul talked in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost, talked. Well, yeah, it does. Go over and read Paul. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians, he speaks in tongues more than them all. Well, when do you think that started? You see, the baptism, and what? He was ministered to laying on of hands by a disciple. Well, I got the testimony from Sherry Allen. Those two guys were up here, got filled with the Holy Ghost, those young men. And what'd they do? They ministered the Holy Ghost to another person. You know? They're Christians. These signs shall follow them that believe. The majority of the church reads that as these signs follow disciples. The Bible doesn't say that, but people have been trained to believe that. Over and over, ministers have told people. Over and over, it has been said from pulpits to people can't even... Look, I want you to understand this. There's things that I've read through in the Bible. Over the years, I've had this happen to me many times, where I would turn around and the Lord would speak to me a scripture. In fact, most of the time, if I went to the Holy Revelation, majority of the times, I would say 95, 97% of the time comes to me, is this way. God will bring a scripture to me. All of a sudden, I just get, just like this morning, it kept coming to me, the scripture in the 14th chapter. I said, I think God wants me to go over there. Because He wants to do something. That's the way most times, this is why most people can't get led by the Spirit. They don't know enough about the Bible. The Spirit leads by the Word. Jesus is the Word. You need to understand this. This is why you want to learn the Bible. The more you understand Scripture, the more the Holy Ghost can bring things to you. You know what? He told the disciples, I'll bring things to your remembrance. If you haven't got Scripture in you, you don't have things to be brought to your remembrance. I'll do this many times and Scripture comes up to me. It's something I hadn't seen in a long time. I know that Scripture. I know it keeps coming up. Then I go to it. This is what I do. Then I go to it. I don't walk around and say, God's trying to give me that Scripture. No, I go to it. And this is inevitably what happens. When I go to that Scripture and I start reading through it, a light turns on. All of a sudden, He's trying to, Then all of a sudden this happens to me. It'll come to me because of knowing that Scripture, and all of a sudden something I see, it takes me to other Scriptures. This is about the most time. This is how it works. This is what happens. Why? This is how the Holy Spirit leads. He leads by the Word. Jesus is the Word. Nobody that doesn't know the Word very well doesn't know Jesus very well. They can say all kinds of things. But see, we know Him. I know Him by the Word. The Holy Spirit is a revealer. He brings life to the Word. He makes Jesus real to me. That's what He does. He makes Jesus real to me. And it comes through this. And understand this. If there's areas of the Bible that we stay away from, like we stay away from 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, you will not get revelation. You don't want those in there because we don't believe in this tongue stuff. And we don't know that care. Day of Pentecost was cool. That's when they got saved. No, they didn't when they got saved. They were already saved. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They got what we just read back in John, in 14th chapter of John. They couldn't have gotten the Holy Spirit that day if they hadn't already been saved. They couldn't have gotten it because the world can't receive it. Prerequisite, get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. You think they didn't believe Jesus is raised from the dead and they're standing on the mountain with Him? Dear God. Think they believed He was Lord? How do you get saved? You didn't get saved by getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus would have said clearly, wait in Jerusalem till you get born again, or you receive me. That's the terminology. Receiving the Spirit is never the terminology for salvation in the Scriptures. It's not the terminology. To receive, you need to go down there to receive Jesus. He didn't say none of that. He didn't say any of that stuff. He says, wait down there till you get power from on high. I had nobody preach power from on high to me to get saved. If it was so, then it's scripturally to preach that today. You see, this is why is that people are very confused out here because all kind of things have been taught and have been said out of here. And the Spirit-filled people are basically pretty silent. They're very silent on the side of it. Because, it causes controversy, We don't want to go on TV today and run a teaching series on this thing here because it could scare a lot of people away. Because, there's loads of people will hook up with a ministry as long as they don't talk that stuff. And they'll hook up with you and they'll send you money. But ministers know this. You're going to have people. You know, I remember Jerry Seville making this statement. He said, you know this, when we're going to teach on commitment in the church, he said, you're always going to have people leaving the church. He said that. He said, I've never preached commitment in my church that we didn't have numbers of people leave. I knew what they want to hear. As long as you don't touch certain subjects, I'm on your team. And the whole time they were never really on your team. They didn't know where you were going and what you were doing. They didn't know. So we need to get over his understanding. They went down. This guy, it's just an ordinary person. And to me, I remember Brother Hagin. In fact, it's in his book that he did, the book he did on tongues. Tongues, the, what's that? But anyhow, in that book, it's one of the things he told me. He said, I believe God put this illustration in here in the scriptures just for us because of people, what they say about this, what you can do and can't do. And I believe it is true. I believe he put it in there for that purpose because people will always, you know, it's like ministering to people. Sadly to say, a lot of Christians, no, I got to have the pastor minister to me. No, you need to have somebody that ministers in faith. You need somebody who can hook up with your faith. See, we're looking to people. Any believer can lay hands on people. Any believer is given authority by Jesus Christ himself to cast out devils. He's given authority to use his name. Now, this use his name to cast out devils. Using his name to speak in new tongues. Using his name. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. You know? That's why I pray over my food. I'll tell you, my food ain't... God blesses my bread and water, takes sickness from me.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. See, I don't sit around this stuff. Well, you know, this ain't good and that ain't good. Ain't nothing no good. We're living in a world that ain't no good.
Amen.
This world ain't good so much that Jesus is going to get rid of it one day.
Yep.
And so, we walk in this place of faith. You know, Paul takes it. Paul, you know, gets bit by a viper and shakes it off and in the fire. See, he got bit by a poison snake and he died. See, I had the devil bite me. He tried to kill me with a heart attack. He tried to kill me with a blood clot to my lung. Neither of them worked.
Amen.
Why? Because the name of Jesus.
That's right.
He wasn't eating the right vegetables. People don't get it. I'm going to tell you, you're going to need the supernatural. And you better be living a life like you need the supernatural. Because when you're going to need it, and you ain't been living a life like you need the supernatural, you won't have it in you to step into it when you need it. I'm just telling you, this is why we want to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to get people into the supernatural life. Because most Christians, most even spirit-filled Christians, they can't live without doctors. What do you do if you can't have them? What if they can't help you? You're done. Mm-hmm. You're done. See, you need to know that. I mean, I'll never forget after I had my blood clot in my lung and that stuff, and I had to go see your family physician. And I went and I walked in. The doctor says, well, you're alive. See, I knew that. She didn't have anything to do to help me. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people. They will live their whole life with ailments and problems. They're going to live their whole life with them because, you know, just they're relying just on what the doctor gives. And they won't build themselves to the point and say, man, I got to get out from under this weight.
Amen.
I got to get out from
under.
No, I said, this is just the way everybody else lives and that stuff. I don't want people around me to think I'm weird. Well, God thinks you're weird. He offers you the best. You say, no, I'm going to take, you know, 100th best. That's what I'm going to take.
Yeah.
I'm going to take first best. You may be at a place that you ain't there yet, but I'm just going to tell you, you can get there.
Amen.
And I know you can
Amen.
Get there because
Amen.
I did.
Amen.
Because I ain't a rocket. I needed help.
Amen.
I wasn't a genius. I didn't have the straight A report card. Hallelujah. But I know how to get A's with Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You get yourself where you can stop. See, if you're dealing with something, Always have faith in it. Don't rely on just what you're doing. Thank God the doctor can help you, but help yourself more.
Amen.
Get yourself over in. And see, to me, that's where the spirit-filled life led me, is to going after something beyond.
Amen.
See, when I had supernatural manifestations happen through me, that's one of the things that I noticed. I thought, man, there's things going on in me that had never gone on before, and this ain't operating in Ed's intelligence.
Amen.
I see things and know things there's no way Ed could know.
Amen.
I understood things. There's things that I began to see in the scriptures, and I realized, you know, me and the Holy Ghost are operating on a different place now than we did before.
Mm-hmm.
We're this ain't Alice in Wonderland. There ain't a rabbit running around with a crazy hat and a broken clock, you know. That's the church world today. It's Alice in Wonderland. It's this Jesus. It's sort of a fairy tale-like thing. And this is real. This is real. You know, when God told Kenneth Hagin, you know, Kenneth Hagin actually was at a point, he died, his heart stopped. And the Lord kicked him in gear and said this to him. He said, "You're not going to die." He said, "I'm sending you," he said, "to teach my people faith." And he said this, and you need to understand, you can't teach faith if you don't have these two things. He said, "I'm going to teach," he said, "you're going to teach people by the word," he said, and he said, "the things that I allowed you to experience." See, if you don't have faith, if you haven't experienced hard things, you can't tell people how to get out of hard things. See, I can sit and talk. Well, I have experience.
Amen.
I can tell you, you know, things happen and you got to look death in the face and say, "Hell, hold it." See, you can't go there if you ain't been there.
Amen.
See, the God didn't do those things to me. The devil did those things to me. God used those things. Because I'm going to tell you what, if I hadn't been built in faith, I'd have died in both those instances.
Amen. Preach.
You build yourself. That you can stand up to people.
Amen.
And is God real? Let me tell you what happened to me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When you see the miraculous, the things that you experience, that you walk in, faith is not a thing on a page of a book. It's a life, and it's lived.
Amen.
It's a miraculous. Every believer needs to have miraculous in their life to testify of Jesus. It'll make
Amen.
You bold.
Amen.
There's one thing is I'm bold. Why? I've experienced it. You can say anything you want. You can tell them, say, "You don't believe what I say." I don't give a rip.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I've experienced it.
Woo!
I'm sorry. I've experienced it. You can go through the thing and say, "Well, you know." So I had a woman one time here many years ago. She goes to church. She said, "Well, that stuff's fine for Pastor Ed, but that ain't for everybody." Well, I found it wasn't for her. She couldn't get her life straightened out for nothing. But see, it was her problem. No matter what you taught from the Word, it was always, "Well, you know, that's for somebody else." But see, we need to understand. See, indoctrination. I found this. I had to indoctrinate myself. And thank God for having Kenneth Hagin. I got his stuff. But when I came into the kingdom, other people weren't teaching where I was around. Was teaching us. I had to get it for myself. I couldn't. I wasn't, you know, with going to, I got stuff and just got myself and fed myself and fed myself and fed myself. Putting into me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just getting things into me. Hallelujah. Thank God that after I getting hooked up with people who were moving it, it was always good to have that. When you could hook up with somebody, was even moving closely that direction, it was wonderful. Hallelujah. There's many people believed in a supernatural God, but they had never experienced Him or known Him. They didn't know enough about the Word. They weren't taught enough to walk by faith. And God, you know, because they were hungry, like these young men come up here. You know, I knew when they were up here in front of that, I knew they were going to get filled with the Holy Ghost before they left. I just knew it inside of me. Old guys up here teaching, you know, it was for them. And this was, is to get them. It's God's moving. He's doing something. Number one, see, you know, God can move in this way and get a person filled with the Holy Ghost and they ain't really acting faith on it.
Amen.
I've gotten people filled with the Holy Ghost and I knew they weren't in faith with it. The Lord told me to lay hands on them. I laid hands on them. They spoke in tongues. It wasn't by faith. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. But see, God wanted to put the word in them. Because he did, they could pass it on. See, you can take the word and pass it on.
Amen.
See, it's just like healing. Most people don't know how to get healing and don't lay hands on other people, and it's just an empty head and an empty head. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And people aren't stopping. You know, it's like sharing with a person, talking to a person. Some, listen to the Holy Ghost. Let me say this. Kenneth Hagin taught me this. And I guess some people bought it and some didn't. But one thing is he said, in dealing with the areas of faith, we need to understand this fact. That if you can't be led by the Spirit, you can't live the life of faith. But on the other hand, if you don't know the Word, you can't live a Spirit life. You'll get an extreme. Either way, you get into extremes. There's people who don't listen to the Spirit. All they do is follow the Word. They become legalists. Then there's people over here who don't pay attention to the Word, and they go over in their so-called Spirit walk, and they end up flakes. No, the two go together. We need to understand this. The life of faith is the life of Jesus Christ operating through me.
Amen.
And the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Well, this I know, the Spirit leads me in line with the Word. But I need to listen to Him of how He uses the Word and what He wants to do. You know, you minister to people every time can be different. I've seen this over the years of ministering to people where the Holy Ghost tells me something. So there's one thing to do. Laying hands on the sick, I can lay hands on the sick and the Word. But I find this, you'll always come along and enter somebody that the Holy Spirit's saying something different. And you better go along. If you want to get it ministered, you better go along with it. You're just going to stare down through and do it your way. Don't be surprised things don't work. And after a while, the Holy Ghost, you know, may not pay any attention to you. See, you listen to the inside. He has says things and wants to do things in certain ways. And you need to know that. See, we talk about if the Lord is the shepherd, why do you want to keep leading? He's the leader. He is. Get that in yourself. I ain't the leader in this thing. And you know what? I'm not out here left alone, and neither are you. You have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. My God. And He will guide you. You know, just on the inside. You know, like Mike talked about, you know, his personal place. The thing, you know, like Mike said, you know, the thing, it looks good, but there's a check in him. In other words, there's things about the thing that Mike was looking at were things he could not see. And maybe it isn't bad what he was heading the direction, but it's not what the Holy Ghost wants him to do. Now, see, this, so you don't sit down and question, well, it all looks good anyhow. So no, he has a check in himself. Is what? Let's come to a stop here. Because he doesn't, you might not know why. You know, that what he wanted to get might have been perfectly good. But the Holy Ghost, No, this is what I want you, I'm going to head you into something. I'm going to head you over here, maybe this. Or I have this for you, or I have that. He might not know at the time. Don't follow the check and you'll never find out either.
That's right.
Don't follow the check. Always want to know everything in advance. And you'll never live a faith life. You know, my daddy was this way. If he said no, he didn't have to explain. He'd whoop your butt if you did it. And I'm going to tell you, you disobey your spirit and the devil's going to whoop your butt for it.
Amen.
That's right. God ain't going to whoop your butt. You and the devil will do a good job. See, as we listen to that. I don't have to know why. You know, I did not. I thought my parents sometimes were just too tough on it. And then I grew up one day and found out, you know, like these people want to 15-year-olds should be able to vote. 15-year-olds today should not be left out of the house. They ain't got the intelligence to be outside the house. That phone directs and guides the 90% of them to 95% of their lives.
Amen.
They never think for themselves. And they have parents that help them do it.
Preach.
They're led. You can't get away from your phone, it's because you're led by it.
Come on.
You don't feel secure away from it. Shows a sign of faith.
Amen.
You know, I find this all the time. Over the years, go in the hospital. Visiting spirit-filled people. Go in the hospital. They never have their Bible in the hospital. They never take their Bible. They get put in a hospital. They don't have a Bible. They don't, you know, go in and visit them and they're there. They ain't read anything. You know, we're believing God. You know, for what? You know, last time I was in the hospital, they said they wanted to keep me overnight. Well, I knew I was healed. I knew I had it. And I think they knew I had it too. So, but, you know, I said to mom, y'all. She said, do you want anything? I said, go home, get my Bible, bring it in. People say, well, I got my phone and I can read it on my phone. Yeah, and then every time a text comes and every time somebody, yeah, I know what that's going to be. You and the devil will be going to having a good time together and wanting the preacher come and get you out. Woo-wee!
<Yep.
laughs> That's good preaching, isn't it, folks?
Amen. Amen.
See? You know, I was sitting there. It was funny because there was a guy in the hospital bed beside me who's a Christian. And these people are coming in out of his church. And I'm going to tell you what. They came in and out. It was like the devil coming in and out.
Mm-hmm.
All they did was talk junk. That poor guy's, I'm sitting there reading my Bible. And one guy walks in and, oh, he said, that's a good book. And I just don't want to say, well, why don't you read it sometime? You come and visit a man. And all you guys do is talk junk over there the whole time about all the problems. And they say, yeah, this guy had that and this guy. I sit there listening. And this poor guy in the bed beside me, he's in bad shape. And they're just talking death to him. They're just talking death in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Say, God, could you set the devil strike lightning in their church and knock them all out so that none of them come and see this guy? He might have a chance to live if we can get the Christians out of the room.
Preach.
Preach. Yeah. You got the word. You got the word. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, the word's life. It's medicine to your flesh. The Bible says so. It's health. That word health means medicine. It's translated medicine. Scripture. It's medicine. People will take medicine, the doctors say, oh, take this in the morning and take this in the afternoon and take that, and they'll follow it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And the rest of Christians are waiting for Sunday to go to church and hoping the pastor gives them some medicine. You see, this, it's true.
Amen.
It'll bring life to you. Glory to God. Take him and get over there. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, leading you to life all the time and leading you so you can minister life.
Amen.
That's what it is. And I'm going to tell you what, people ain't filled. I get when I tell people, if you ain't filled with the Spirit, you shouldn't go out there and minister. Jesus said, don't go nowhere till you receive power from on high.
Amen.
You need something to give to somebody or shake them up.
Amen.
You need something that something dynamic to give to somebody. That's what we need.
Amen.
We need to have something that you can hand a person here. God will do this for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's people hungry out here, but if you don't give them anything, I don't care how hungry they are.
That's right.
It was like as young men, they were hungry. So they came for a place because they're looking for a place to eat something. They wanted something
Amen.
To eat. Well, if nobody takes them anywhere to get something there, well, you know, you can be hungry as crazy. Well, you know, you can starve to death sitting at home and no food in the pantry or nothing in the refrigerator. You know, you could starve to death.
Amen.
You got to go where the food's at. People don't know where the food's at. And they don't know what food people need.
Amen.
We somehow in the church have lost this thing. The great need of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost that. This is just a little side thing. You know, what I need is my life fixed. God's trying to fix the lives,
right.
But they don't take what He wants.
That's
no,
right.
Even spirit-filled people, they don't take what God has. No, they don't live in that supernatural place. They just live in that. And all they have is supernatural, they have natural answers.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get their supernatural answers.
That's
right. Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I keep getting in places I need help.
Amen.
And I thank God for nice, good Christian people to help me. But I'm going to tell you what, Holy Ghost is better than all
Amen.
Of us.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost can give help that nobody else can give or has an opportunity to give.
Amen.
And you get down that. He'll do for me.
Amen.
See, get it in your mind. He is the gift that's been given to you. God don't take gifts back. He's given it to you. Man, I can't imagine the Christian life without the Holy Ghost. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine this life. I can't imagine living a life anymore. It's all natural what Ed can do. I can't imagine it. I mean, all the time I do things, I put something somewhere. Where did I put that out the last time I had that? I can't remember. Holy Spirit, remind me where that came from. You know,
Amen.
I'll just go off and do something else, and all of a sudden, boom, comes to me. Oh, I knew that. I wasn't even thinking about that at the time. And all of a sudden it comes, oh, I know what I did with that. And he'll get it. No, before I'd have tore everything looking all over the place. I'd have wasted my time half a day trying to find out what I did with that thing and got a whole lot less done.
Yeah.
See, I'm just operating out of my brilliance. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. I think God, you know, God gives us a good mind. But I think, you know, it's the same with me. Well, I never understood people say they didn't like computers. And I thought, well, a computer can be a really good thing because you can have a lot of things there that you don't have to try to just figure out and think yourself. I thought that's good. Well, the Holy Ghost is that way. The Holy Ghost is my wonderful computer that lives in. He's the brilliance of God. He knows everything, and He lives inside of it.
Amen.
And when I need help, He's called my helper. Now, if I ask Him to help and He don't, He defied Jesus Christ Himself. And I'd tell Jesus, that scoundrel you gave me won't listen to what you said He'd do. Well, you'll never have that happen.
Amen.
He's a comforter. I know this. When Ed's stupid, He still comforts him.
Amen. Amen.
He still helps me out. That's His job.
Amen.
That's what He's there to do.
Amen.
See, we got to live in this thing here. We got to walk over in this supernatural place that we've been called to, because I'm going to tell you what, it's God's brilliance is going to come through you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God's brilliance does not come into the earth other than through men.
That's right.
Hallelujah. He takes people like us and does things that people stop and wonder at. And they'll know it's God because they know you ain't got the brilliance to do it. They'll know God's doing something. See, I want God to be able to do outside of what I can think and what I can do. And we can stop and say, hey, hold it. That ain't us. I didn't do that. You know, Paul's minister, and he did a miracle, and they want to come and sacrifice to him. He puts the brakes on it right away and says, oh, no. God did this thing. It is easy to get people to worship men. I could get Christians to worship a person like that. You let a person start doing something, that stuff, and they're carnal in their Christianity. They're, after all, worshiping and chasing after that ministry. They're chasing after the guy. Kenneth Hagin had that. Kenneth Hagin, when he passed away, there's numbers of Rhema people just threw in the towel concerning things of faith in that. Well, you know, when he left, this left. They missed the whole thing.
Amen.
When Kenneth Hagin died, I always just remember what he told us. You know, you can go beyond Rob that. I never thought he was God. I always thought God used the man. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So when he left, I didn't. I'm going to tell you, a lot of Christians in tied to Rhema, you'd have thought Jesus Christ died when he left. What? People following people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, so-and-so died. Say, yeah, he left. Praise God, he went home to his reward and don't have to put up with all us knuckleheads. Now it's time for us to grow up. Daddy left, let's grow up.
Amen. Amen.
You might have to learn something for yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
You might have to put on big boy pants. I'll tell you, that's a... Let's stand to our feet. You see, with us, we sit here, we know these things. We're living in a world this is foreign to. This is foreign. This is like you going to Harvard and trying to explain to them when they have been for all these years set in this thing where they have pushed in a direction and pushed in, and they've allowed spirits to come and enforce these things on them. We're preached. See, this is why you want to tell the truth. The word sets people free. It's the truth.
Amen.
You're going to have to tell people the truth. If you wanted to get them free, they can't get free. You know, God don't set everybody free just because He loves them and I'm going to wave a wand and everybody. No, it's the Word of God, the Gospel, the Word of God. We speak it and it sets men free. Words are how people got into their bondage. People yield to the devil through their words.
Amen.
People yield to God through their words.
Amen.
You need to understand this. Words set an atmosphere. They set an atmosphere for good or evil. There's one thing is I admire this about Donald Trump. Donald Trump don't get mad and just, you know, he says wild things and that stuff. But you know what? He never says it in anger. He'll smile and call a guy an idiot. He doesn't. Why? He never sets an atmosphere. He never sets an atmosphere of just rage. He don't ever do that. He's smart. World leaders who said they hate him came together. You know why they came together with Trump? Because they couldn't get together without him. He wasn't mad at all of them or anything. He didn't agree with loads of them on lots of stuff. It didn't matter. He had an agenda to do, and he ain't mad. He ain't running everybody down with it. And they come and join him and stand. Let's take a picture together. We're with Trump. There's things that he has wisdom on that I'm going to tell you. The church needs to learn that. He just, you know, he doesn't just out and out just throw fits. He doesn't do that. I was listening to his son talking about his dad. And his son said this. I heard him. He said, my dad has an agenda of things he's going to do. And he said, that's his focus. What anybody else is doing around what they're doing, it don't matter. He don't care. I'm getting my thing done. And he said, he sees himself getting his thing done. That's what he don't see all the rest of it. They're out here doing crazy and that. Oh, here, that guy's an idiot over there. He'll say that guy's an idiot. He don't ever say it like, that guy's an idiot. I don't know we need to do this. He doesn't do that. He goes, no, he's an idiot. So then, I'm smart. He's an idiot. Hey, poor guy. It's a sham. That's the way he is. He doesn't. And see, we need to learn that. We're too tied to the problems going on around us instead of the answers
Amen.
That we have. You know, I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of supernatural going on in this man. Now, at his age, do you know how much he sleeps a night? About 3 hours. Do you know when he went over with these meetings with these people, he left the United States and didn't sleep for 36 hours. And did you watch him and his things? You'd think he just got out of bed. He's just full of energy and he's full. I'm going to tell you, God's doing something supernatural in that man. He's setting the world up for a revival. Revivals don't come in war. These Christians that think we ought to have, you know, some kind of, no, you don't. You want peace. During war, there's no revivals. Revivals break out in the times of peace. Because what happens? The human mind. There's a war going on. People can't think of anything. They can't. Their mind. They go. Christians, their whole life is prayed to the war, to the war, to the war, to the war, to the war. Everything's prayed that way. Everything becomes, we lose track of things. God is moving supernaturally to bring peace. Why? To pour out His Holy Ghost.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Donald Trump ain't great. But God's working him supernaturally. Yes. People need to identify this. Say, well, I hear stupid Christians. Well, you know, he don't act much like a Christian. I don't give a rip, Woody. He is doing a thing God said, shut up, you morons. I don't care if he don't talk. Well, you know, he says things he shouldn't say. Well, you just said something you shouldn't say. So shut up. Who are you to criticize him anyhow? How many wars have you settled? Well, you started a few, didn't you? But you Hallelujah! You know, I look at the man. I'm saying, this isn't just an ordinary man we're dealing with. God has been gracious to this world.
Amen.
God's been gracious. I look at this. This is the grace of God. This is, he's like a Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar saved Israel. He had encounters with God, and God used him to spare a nation after they had hauled him off. God didn't criticize him and run him down. God wants to work on him, he can. It's not our job.
Amen. Amen.
It's not our job. I just thank God because there's a supernatural thing going on here. And I'm going to tell you, it has it. His son talked about him as a man, like a man doing stuff and what he does. And it's just like, I'm thinking, dear God, men don't do this stuff. This is God doing this stuff. This is God's working in here. Men don't do these things. He is sort of set in a direction. I mean, you can bet this man. I mean, he turns around and spends millions of dollars building a ballroom in the house that the White House should have had a long time ago. It's his own money. He goes builds it's millions and millions of dollars built. He does his stuff. He just out of his pocket. You show me one Republican that's ever done anything like that. See, I always say he ain't a Republican. He ain't Republican. This guy's different. He's doing something that ain't in the norm. It doesn't make sense. He don't take a paycheck and spends money fixing stuff up for the government and does it. I mean, my God. Somebody says, well, he don't talk right. See, is that the big thing that bothers you, you idiot? He does a lot of wonderful stuff. Oh, but he said, he called some guy an idiot. Yeah, well, he's the president. I'm finally glad one president stood up and said somebody was an idiot. Because, well, they couldn't. Most of our presidents were idiots. Right? They couldn't stand up and say it. But, I would say, sit down. I'll tell you what, it's like me. God is using this thing. There's a move of God going on that Christianity is blind to. I'm going to tell you this. A lot of the shaking and turning up in our nation is God's doing. God is shaking things up.
Amen.
So I always remember Charles Capps made the statement. He said, the gays didn't come out of the closet. He said, God opened the door. They can't hide in the darkness anymore who they are. And the people that are for that stuff can't hide anymore. We know who they are.
Yep.
Do you know one thing? You need to know and be able to see. If you want to just go hide it back again, people, it's all going on. It's all happening, but it's hidden. This is how they ran our colleges. We were willing to let it hide, but they weren't hiding. They were over in those areas getting people in. Down in Lancaster, the theological seminary down there, which is under the Church of Christ and under the, I think it's the Lutheran Church. No, it might be. Yeah, I guess it was under the Lutheran and them. Anyhow, now going back in the 70s, they had homosexuals there teaching in the college. In the 70s. They wonder why today these groups have went over with homosexuality. They were building that stuff till they said, that didn't happen later on and in the 90s everything changed. They were entering in. Leaders had accepted. They stayed quiet. But they're building to shooting to a thing. To now, hey, you can be anything you want. What do you want to be, a chicken? Go ahead. I identify as a chicken, And I'm just, I identify as a chicken. So tomorrow we're going to send them off to the packing plant. We eat chicken. You can't lay eggs. You're in trouble. That's good preaching, folks.
Amen.
But see, these things did. And see, out in the open, one of the things I love is through Trump, God's bringing things out in the open. He is dragging everything out into the open. It's making a lot of people uncomfortable. A lot of Republicans are uncomfortable. Don't you think they're happy? They're uncomfortable. Why? Because they're a lot like the Democrats. We didn't get $35 trillion in debt because Republicans were really good people. And they were standing up for you. The only reason they're all hanging on to this man's coattails that God put in. Those men will never be, unless they change in what they do, they will never be blessed like he is. they will never accomplish what he accomplishes. You can hang on to a guy's coattail, but if you ain't that, when he leaves, you lose that. That goes. That goes. So understand these things. This is a working of God. God is giving man opportunity. 1950, Jesus said this in a vision to Kenneth E. Hagin. America is having its last call. I think this is the end of the last call. The church needs to get on board.
Amen.
Church needs to get on board. They need to get on board this thing. This is a called ordination. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what. I believe people say what they want. I believe it's so. What God's doing here in this thing. Hallelujah. I know it's outside of Ed's ability. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you today. Father, you have great wisdom and great understanding, far beyond ours. And I just want to thank you for it, because I'm just glad to have such a glorious Lord. I am so thankful, hallelujah, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his wisdom and understanding. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Father, thank you that in your graciousness you send him. Lord God, that we're in this earth and we're never alone. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, I thank you for people around us, but Lord God, most of all, Lord God, to have the Holy Spirit who indwells and lives in us, having the anointing, the Holy Spirit on our lives, the great teacher, the great instructor, hallelujah, who takes what belongs to our wonderful master and reveals it to us. Father, I am just so thankful. I am so thankful, Lord God, that you take people that, and I know sometimes people say ordinary people. Well, no, Lord, ordinary people today are in bad trouble. They're not good. But Lord God, you can take them and turn them to make them into the most glorious thing. And I just want to thank, nobody else can do that. Lord, I know in my past I had tried the turning over new leaves in life. I tried many things. Lord, I wanted to do good, but it never turned out good. And then I ran into Jesus. Lord God, he did in me what I could have never, ever, ever done for myself. Couldn't have possibly, not a possibility. And I just want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for the wonderful security that we have in Christ Jesus today as believers here. Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, because we have people here. They believe in this life. They believe in this thing. They believe that, Lord God, their desires for the supernatural. They want to walk and live in this place. Lord God, because this is where you called us to. And Lord God, our hearts call to it. Hallelujah. Our hearts cry out for it. And I want to say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, that we know the truth. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you open up doors for us to step into to people, to bring these truths to them. Hallelujah. Lord, I know that there's many people out here, whether it's in the church or even in the world, they are craving for real supernatural. They know that we need something more than what we have. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God, that you got this in us and you're able, well able to use us. Well able. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Father God. Because, Lord God, I know that you will do exceedingly abundantly above what I imagine or think, according to the power that's working in me. Hallelujah. I thank you for the great Holy Ghost that's working inside of us, and he's going to take us beyond to help these others come into the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, when you return, I want you to have a glorious church. A glorious church. Hallelujah. Oh, full of your glory and your power. Hallelujah. Father God, that when Jesus Christ comes, hallelujah, the change of the body is just a natural step for us over into the other side. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, it's not going to be a big deal to us. Hallelujah. We're going to be ready for it. We're ready for that step. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. Lord God, it's going to be a glorious day when all the church of Jesus Christ is together. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, in our glorified bodies. Hallelujah. Seeing our Lord and Him seeing us as He is. Hallelujah. Oh, my, my, my. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Father, we have a glorious and wonderful future. And Father, we want that future revealed to people today in this earth. And Lord God, we're not going to be disappointed. You're going to do marvelous and wonderful things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.